But if you don't mind, I'd like to just go over it in a big picture kind of a way. And some of the things were touched on. More than one of our comments talked about the amount of impervious coverage and the number of parking spaces. So our solicitor took the time to actually add up how many spaces are included that are above and beyond what the zoning ordinance requires. It's 223. Our zoning ordinance tries to look at ways to minimize parking requirements, and we allow for things like shared parking for different uses. We allow for parking to be located on nearby lots. We allow for things for flexibility in parking to try to minimize impervious coverage and to allow for greater green space in other areas of the community. And that could be done here too. You mentioned the situation across the street where there are some employees that need to park on this lot because there's not enough parking across the street. But I would say in that situation, there are no provisions for shared parking. And if there were, there would be ample parking in that development. It's very important, I think, to be able to consolidate spaces, and I think it also helps in just the utilization and the circulation of the lot, etc. So we've mentioned parking and impervious coverage in more than one of our comments, but that was something that stood out to us as a very important comment. One of the comments that we have in here, they already did address moving some of the buildings up to the street. We talk about integrated uses and mixed use. We talk about that in item number 3 and item number 4. It's not really my recollection that it was not intended ever to have residential uses on upper floors. That's not my recollection, and it's not prohibited in the ordinance. It is something that's permitted. So in one of our comments, we talk about having a greater variety of housing types on the lot. There's over 500 units, but they're all of the same housing type. So they could be townhomes or twins. They could be units above some of the commercial uses to try to consolidate space. And that, I think, makes for a more sustainable project overall. The more mixed use that is in the project, the more sustainable the development would be overall. So that was an important comment for us also. There's a requirement in the ordinance that 10% of the lot be held in open space, but it also states that it should be active or passive outdoor recreational use. And we'd like to see a greater variety of spaces that are available. Now, this pocket park was not on the plan that we originally looked at, so that is new. But I would say my understanding of the lot is that the flat areas of the parcel are already developed for parking. There's a tremendous amount of parking on the lot right now. And that what goes beyond the parking begins to slope off as you go down either to the 378 interchange or down to Burnside, but that there's slopes as you get off of that. And it's pretty much all wooded space. So to have the detention pond and even the pocket park in that location, it looks now, I mean, this is just a conceptual drawing, it's just a sketch plan, but it looks like it's located on sloped area and wooded area. One thing that we would want to do is retain the maximum number of trees that we could retain. There are provisions in the zoning ordinance for that, and we do require that if trees are removed, they need to be replaced. That's a requirement. So there are trees within the existing parking lot now, and I understand that pretty much whatever happens here, those trees are probably gonna go, but we would like to retain as much as we can in the areas that are natural now, in the areas that are sloped and exist on the perimeter. So when we look at recreational space, that's why we were looking at some space that would be more interior to the lot. We may have a comment about the overall master plan must show how the development is proposed to be phased, whether there are new lot lines, which you did explain, and what areas are proposed to be dedicated to the city. And you did ask about what does phasing mean, and we'd like to know how this is proposed to be developed so that we know what is phase one or phase two, how does build out occur here? And we're not really addressing that right now on the lot. And it is important to also know what's proposed to be dedicated. We talked about public roads in our comments, but also if there's any public utilities, if there's other things like that, would be important to know before we proceed too far beyond master plan.
And just to touch on that, Ms. Howard, the roads that we have, the two, we would propose that those would be dedicated. The main road coming down and out to here, and to probably to here. But the interior parking and interior drive aisles would not be. They would remain private. But the two main roads there, we would propose those to be public.
Okay. And then that's something that we would have to talk about under the engineering comments. It is recommended that we would not take over streets within the development, but we'd have to talk about that further. We refer to the trail system and the Monocacy Way. We think that's a beautiful asset. We did a trail feasibility study recently in the for the entire city to create a trail network. There's been a lot of support for that. We have some funding to improve Monocacy Way from Union Boulevard, or from Shanersville Road North, to take you up to the Memorial Pool and Monocacy Park. We continue to look for funding to improve Monocacy Way from Shanersville Road South to Union Boulevard, and to make that connection better into Colonial Industrial Corridor and down to the D&L Trail. But it's an excellent amenity, and the purpose of the trail feasibility study was really to create a network of trails, and this would be an important connector. So the relationship between this project and the trail itself, and Burnside, and Burnside is a county park, to the county park itself, would be very important, and we would want to take a close look at what that relationship is and how do those connections play out in the future. We have another specific comment about Burnside. It's also on the National Register of Historic Places, and so I know there's some particular interest in that site. There are some provisions within the ordinance about protecting the sight lines, and Mr. Wagner did address that, so we would take a closer look at that again as that development gets into final plan phases. We talk a bit about pedestrian and bicycle safety, and one thing that was looked at in the slides is connecting this site to other sites, to the outlying area, which is important. But the connectivity within the parcel is important too. In our comments, we talk about some of the pedestrian crossings on 8th Avenue and on Eaton, upgraded pedestrian crossings there. Again, the trail becomes important for pedestrian way, and also bicycle safety. We continue to look at how to better incorporate bicycle safety and pedestrian or bicycle pathways into the circulation in the city too. We talked about recreation, talked about Burnside. The tree inventory also, we will require a tree inventory for the numbers of trees that are on the site now. Again, we'll need to know that in advance of anything happening on the site, because we will require replacement of those trees in the future. Tiffany Wells referred a little bit to the traffic and circulation. And I'm not sure exactly how the traffic numbers play out compared to Martin Tower, but the types of uses and the types of ingress and egress to the site would be very different. When Martin Tower was there, there's shift changes, and I think there was a lot of in and out at certain periods of the day, but I expect that the traffic patterns would be much, much different with varied uses on the lot like we have now. There's several comments under forestry, and again, in forestry, she talks a lot about green space and open space. She also talks about the layout of some of the parcels, which some of your comments did as well. Within the residential section, I mean, we had talked previously about a gridded system. But if the residential section also included a variety of layouts that would have some backloaded parking instead of parking in the front, some clustered parking so that the houses or the apartment buildings could be up to the street without the head-in parking between the driving aisle and the structures, would give greater variety to the space. And we understand that this is an initial plan, so things can change, but we'd like to look at some more creative layout and design in some of the residential and in the non-residential space as well. Some of the comments, with the street trees and things like that, with the lighting and the other amenities, we would like to match that up to what's existing in some of the other development on 8th and Eaton, because some of that is fairly new, and we did have layouts there that we'd like to be able to repeat so that there's some consistency of development on those major corridors. Some of the fire comments have to do with turning movements and circulation with access, and many of the other comments are related to the kinds of comments that you would typically see for final plan approvals. So some of our comments are repetitive of some of the questions and comments that you had already asked. But I think the ones that they're most repetitive are looking for a variety of uses and a variety of housing types that would be mixed in, and to cut back on the impervious coverage and largely the parking.
Thank you, Ms. Howard.
Question about the parking.
Mr. Barker.
So you said 213, is that correct?
I think it was 223.
223. So out of those 223, how many were from the units, from the multi-family units?
They had a chart in here.
Just two.
Two
access on the residential.
Two. So knowing what we know about the surrounding use, about the St. Luke's and across the street, there were already parking on this side because there's not enough parking. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
What are the provisions? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You finished.
You know, knowing because I've been in building and whatnot, I do know that one of the first questions out of my potential vendor's mouth is, how many parking spots do I have?
That's and what we're hearing. Same thing we hear. Yeah.
You know, so the 223 spaces, you know, okay. Not really that much.
A significant amount of those are related to the 5 per thousand versus the 4 per thousand. So between the 60, 40 of 100 of those, 102 of those related to those two buildings alone, so half of them are coming from that. And I understand what the ordinance says, and I understand the concept of what the ordinance provides for, but what we're dealing with in this case is the practical reality of a tenant who wants to occupy and bring 200 employees to the site. That's a great use because it's there already. It's a compatible use, and those are great jobs that come with it. And it's what we have to provide for them. And the shared parking isn't something that's acceptable for that type of use. So it's kind of where we are with it. But I do understand where you're coming from and what you're trying to accomplish. It's just you got to weigh that with the reality of what's practical.
Any other questions from the Planning Commission? Mr. Salat.
Just one other thought. The might be part of the traffic study, I'm not sure. We didn't talk about land of service at all, especially to the medical buildings that you're implying that are going to be built there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a bus route. I believe there's a current bus route that runs along 8th Avenue. Atlanta services that.
Right.
So we would continue that if we had communication with them about any type of offsets. But I think this would just be an extension of the service they provide already because they're already there.
Mr. Pelosi, as a lot of you know, is our Atlanta guru on our Planning Commission. He pointed out to me just now that there is connectivity via Atlanta with bus number 105, 215, and 102. So who knows the bus numbers on that. Any other questions from the Planning Commission at this time? I know, I thank everyone for their patience. I'd like to, Ms. Cohen,
just go ahead. A real quick comment. Just to clarify the parking on the residential area, instead of 1 3/4 spaces per one or two bedroom apartment, they're proposing two. In addition to that, there's two additional spaces beyond what they're calculating.
Well, we're required to provide two because of the, it's 1.75 plus another quarter space for the visitor parking that we have to accommodate within the parking field. So that's how we get to the two. So it is a requirement of the ordinance.
I just want to clarify that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Is there any consideration of structured parking? Under buildings?
The cost prohibitive, that's a challenge.
I just love what density is.
At this time, I would like to ask any members of the public, once again, if you are making a comment, we ask that you please sign in. And when you do step to the podium, clearly pronounce your name and your address for the record. Any public comment at this time? Sir.
Hi, my name is Brian Hillard. I'm a resident of Bethlehem, 1510 Dale Lane. I am also here on behalf of the Bethlehem Environmental Advisory Council. I understand that Planning Commission had already received your letter, but I thought this would be a good opportunity to kind of reinforce some of our concerns. Now, this is under the awareness that this plan up here is different than